he really was kind of the thread that kept so many people together.
We have found new interest in these hobbies the past few years to kind of keep things going for my dad.
That was the start of it all.
Yeah.
Like when we saw all those people come together and speak about like always knowing that they could stop by the barn and that he would cheer them up, or they could go in for a drink or stop by Andy's and have a cup of coffee. Like we're just trying to like find ways to finish those projects and keep the people that supported him together and the community together for as long as they will embrace us.
That was Christine and Amanda Barker. In the heart of Puyallup, Washington, a legacy endures through the dedication of these two sisters. They're picking up the torch in honor of their late father, Stephen Barker, a beloved figure within a vibrant community of car enthusiasts. Known for his passion and love of speed, Steve was the heart and soul behind weekly gatherings at what became known as Barker's Barn. More than just a repository for his treasured car collection and memorabilia, it's a clubhouse of sorts for the community. After their father's passing, Amanda and Christine are embracing new roles in their lives. They're continuing the operations of Andy's Auto Parts, a family-owned business passed down through generations, and also keeping the spirit of Barker's Barn alive by hosting car shows and collaborating recently with LeMay America's Car Museum on a Corvette exhibit. And of course, keeping the doors to Barker's Barn open. This is Fuel for the Future, presented by State Farm Insurance and driven by America's Automotive Trust. I'm Michael May, and today, we talk to the Barker sisters about how their lives have changed in the last few years and their growing love of the automotive community.
Hi, I'm Amanda Barker. I'm the Vice President of Sales at a liquor distribution company. And in my spare time, I run, I'd say, a little bit more of the business side of things or the strategic side of things. I think Christine's kind of the creative visionary, and I do more of like the Andy's Auto Parts side and
tells me what I can't buy
and managing the finances occasionally, but it's a team effort.
Yes, she's right. And I'm Christine Barker. I am obviously, from my voice, the younger sister. And I essentially grew up driving a lot of our dad's cars and have always enjoyed driving them, but never expected to be into learning about working on them. So I have recently discovered that I am probably have a lot of what my dad did, and I don't want to get rid of anything. And I'm in market for a lot of things. And if it weren't for Amanda, I'd probably have no money. I also have a real job. I'm in advertising, and enjoy it, but we have found new interest in these hobbies the past few years to kind of keep things going for my dad.
So let's talk about that hobby. So your father is kind of a local celebrity in terms of his car enthusiasm and passion that he had. Can you tell me a little bit about your father and what he was doing with cars and how he expressed his enthusiasm?
I think the big thing about my dad is that he always thought outside the box. So he grew up in Puyallup, born and raised, never left Puyallup, had the same job his whole life. His uncle owned a gas station, Andy's Auto Parts. It's been in our family since 1922. And it's still operating today. That's kind of the business that I run. So he managed that business. And I think the love affair with cars started right away. He purchased a 1960 El Camino, and that was kind of the start of everything for him. And he loved to go fast. And I think he probably got too many speeding tickets, and they were trying to find a better outlet for him, and he started racing. And it all kind of went from there. He had a life of his own.
Yeah. I think to piggyback off of what Amanda said, from a really young age, I mean, 4 or 5 years old, he'd ride his bike up the street from what's known as Barker's Barn now to his Uncle Andy's gas station, and would just help out. And Andy never had any kids and really took a liking to my dad. And like Amanda said, he'd pump gas and get to see all the cars and do all the things. And actually, they had a hog farm And Uncle Andy said, you know, you go with Aunt Marie and I want you to buy a truck for the hog farm to haul feed. And he convinced her, this is in May of 1959, they went into Walker Chevrolet. He convinced her all the way out there, oh, don't worry, I already got a truck picked out. It's perfect. And it was the 1960 El Camino. So they get back and Andy says, did you get a truck? And he goes, yep, yep, we got one pre-ordered. And 3 months later shows up this brand new 1960 El Camino with 348 in it. And little did Andy know, my dad had already been getting speeding tickets that he was hiding in some of his cars that he would do like parts runs on. And so that's how his racing started. And then he started racing at Puyallup Valley Raceways up in Puyallup.
Andy's Auto Parts, did that become, you know, now it's Barker's Barn that you reference. I'd love to learn a little bit about Barker's Barn and how it grew into that over the decades.
Yeah, so they're actually two separate properties. So they're 2 miles from each other on the same road. And Andy's Auto Parts, like I said, has been in the family since 1922. It was an operating gas station until 1986 during the gas crisis when it became too difficult to purchase gas as a small entrepreneur, but still sells auto parts and sold gas and was quite a busy place. And then Barker's Barn is really my dad's creation. You know,
it was like the original vision of a man cave. It was a horse barn next door to the house that he grew up in. And he started, it was the neighbor's property actually originally, and somehow became my dad's property. Yeah. And he would just store his El Camino in there. And then he started to get more cars and collect signs and built a bar in the back and pool table and, you know, lifts are in there and all this memorabilia. And as he started racing at Puyallup Valley Raceway, he would run the gas station, which, like Amanda said, was very successful. I mean, we have newspaper articles and car. I mean, that's the best thing about it. You know, people are like, we'll share a photo of my dad racing. And they'll, what did Raleigh Brown, there's this great photo of my dad racing a 1966 Corvette. And it's just an epic photo. My dad's burning out and it's at Puyallup Valley Raceway. And this guy, Raleigh, said, I gave your dad that photo. I was 7 years old. And he traded me that photo for a candy bar out of the candy counter of Andy's Auto Parts. So Barker's Barn was just where he stored his personal cars. And what people would know it as in the past 40 years is, if the door was open, everybody was welcome. You'd bring your cars down. You'd stop in for a drink. You'd BS about whatever project anybody was working on. And as he collected cars, that's where he kept them all and then still tinkered around at the gas station.
And did it become a bit of like a neighborhood hangout? Would kids and families stop in and see what's going on and see the cars?
Not kids and families.
We were the only kids there.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And single people and
wives looking for their husbands.
Wives looking for their husbands.
I believe it. So you grew up, you know, around this passion and the hobby of cars and classic cars and collecting. And I'm curious to know if both of you, you know, did you take to automobiles as youngsters, or did you not?
No. I don't. Neither of us.
No.
Did. This is a transition for both of
really
us.
It's really interesting because even the barn, I mean, we would go literally all summer every day to Andy's Auto Parts, which my dad didn't pump gas in maybe in the early years, but, you know, Andy's Auto Parts was a place where notable, I'll call them old timers, because they were actually Andy's friends. When Andy died and my dad had the gas station, people say that the day he died, my dad went right down to the gas station the next morning and opened up right in the morning and had coffee ready for all of Andy's friends. And they had their chairs and a place to go. And that's what it was when we were little, a place for everybody to go and have their coffee and share what's going on in their life. And sometimes he'd sell stuff and sometimes he wouldn't. And he didn't love to sell things.
but I want to touch on that, though, because I think the commonality between the barn or Barker's Barn and Andy's is that it was a hangout spot.
It was a community place.
It was a community place. And that was the number one thing. I mean, we were not into any of this until his service when, you know, we had the service and we printed it in the paper and we told people. And Michael, we had 750 people show up. The fire department actually came and told us you can't bring another body in here. And probably 400 or 500 cars.
People trailered their collector cars around from across the country.
From Mexico. From the East Coast. Like,
it was unreal. And it was a situation where my sister and I, he passed right after his 80th birthday, and we never got to have a birthday party. So we were like, well, he was a pretty unconventional guy. Let's throw him like a big blowout 80th birthday party with an open bar and fully catered. And a lot of people know my dad for all of his trophies, or back in the day, you would get racing jackets, and he has just tons of them.
Memorabilia.
Yeah, memorabilia that he won that is pretty rare these days. So we got all his memorabilia out and made poster boards and put trophies on the table. And we were expecting, I think we accounted for 250 people, right? And we had, yeah, over 700 people. It was nuts. And so
that was the start of it all. Yeah. Like when we saw all those people come together and speak about, like, always knowing that they could stop by the barn and that he would cheer them up, or they could go in for a drink or stop by Andy's and have a cup of coffee. Like, he really was kind of the thread that kept so many people together. And we wanted to continue that. And he always instilled that in us. We were always going to visit people like Andy's friends or his friends' parents, you know.
If somebody was in the hospital, we knew we were going to visit so-and-so in the hospital. We were going to go visit him every Sunday for the next year, if that's what Dad was going to do. You know, he really cared about people. And I think Puyallup and Tacoma area as a whole, like, watched this kid grow up pumping his gas, and they just kept watching him grow up because he never really grew up. No, he just continued to buy cars. Well, sold
his teenager.
Yeah.
That was
his
nickname.
And race and, you know, just do what he was passionate about. So I guess initially you asked, were we into cars? We just thought what we grew up around was normal until we would like share some stories when Amanda went off to college and people would be like, what? That's not a normal story. We're like, oh, it isn't? That's weird. Was to us, you know? And so, you know, everybody, I think today I have a big interest in the actual cars, working on them and driving them. And a misconception is everybody says, oh, she's just like your dad. And that is actually not true at all. My sister is exactly like my dad. My dad was, it had to be, no offense, his way. And he was so stubborn. And I will never forget. He was like, you girls aren't getting your driver's license so you can drive a stick shift. And Amanda got in the car. Yeah, I'm going to learn. And, you know, she's like, I should be able to do this by now. It's been 5 minutes, you know? And he's like, clutch. And she's like, no, you clutch. And got out of the car. They're screaming at each other. And she was like, I am not putting up with that. You were crazy. And I put up with it. And so I got to learn how to drive things. And that was kind of our thing that we would do together. But never. So it was just a chance to spend time with just my dad without people coming up to him and knowing who he was and this whole show. Most of our cars are two-seaters. And I always liked that. I got to see that side of him, because to everybody else, he's this guy that never grew up. But to us, he was just our real dad, you know, picking us up from dance class and making us hovercrafts for Halloween costumes or science projects, like just a real dad, you know? And so I enjoyed that.
Yeah. Do you feel a sense of, because it sounds like, you know, you are carrying this on, which is what's so amazing. And I can sense kind of a passion behind that. Do you feel kind of a weight at all? Or is there just pure excitement to kind of carry this on? Because it does seem like big shoes to fill, if that makes sense.
That's a good question.
I think it's a little of both. I don't feel like I'm trying to fill his shoes, because I could never.
Say that.
I feel like we're just trying to continue his legacy, and the community has been so supportive of that. And I think, you know, going back to his service, we realized that there was a real opportunity to bring people together there, and that was what bred, you know, our car show, Hot Barker Nights. Mm-hmm. That's what really brought that about. And that was where the cars came from. The car show was actually the first idea, where we were like, we should do this in honor of him and we could do it every year. And then it spiraled into, well, we should put a car together. Okay, we should have two cars together. Okay, we should. And it just kind of really all came from that celebration.
And on at my dad's service, that's really what it was. We got to see these. Amanda and I prepared that. We ran the thing and gave the speech about who he was to us, you know, and the community. And I told Amanda at one point, I was like, I feel like we're like running a cult or something. I mean, people are like, long live Barker's Barn, and standing up. And we were like, promise you'll always honk when you drive by. And they were like, we'll honk forever. And we were like, yes. But the community aspect there, really, and I don't know that we've ever talked about this, but I think she'll agree, was getting to see people that have not seen each other in 50, 80 years. The flagger from Puyallup Valley Raceway showed up and was like, I haven't seen your dad since I flagged. And people were like, were you the flagger at Puyallup Valley Raceways? And it was seeing these people connect. And actually, now that I think about it, that's what we got to see our whole life happen at the barn or Andy's.
Yeah.
So we were like, oh, we should do something. That was so cool. We should do something once a year to allow people that opportunity.
Well, that's so wonderful. And I'm going to back up a little bit here. Tell me about the kind of cars that your father liked. What did he keep? What did he buy? What did he want to buy? Tell me about that.
Yeah, he wanted to buy a lot of things. He had like really unconventional ideas. And
yeah,
the biggest thing was that he loved to buy things and then take them apart. And I will never forget that at the service, this came up. One of the guys who was there said, you know, he was just insane. And I said, well, yes, we're aware, Duncan. And he said, well, you know, he came in and bought a brand new Honda CBX for me. And the next week he called the store and I had to come out to the barn because he had taken it apart because he wanted to learn how a bike worked and he couldn't get it back together. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And that was just really the epitome of him. He was so curious about everything. And so he was into tons of things. I mean, he owned a 61 Impala and a 58 Bel Air. He was really known
very much Chevys and almost always big blocks and customizing things that he liked. He's very into Corvettes. He loves trucks. We got a lot of, you know, C10s and... Mm-hmm. Man, he went through a Blazer phase and then he likes some strange stuff. We've got a Dodge wheel stand. What else did we had a truck called Bad Breath Tony that was actually Uncle Andy's and had a urinal on the front. And
oh,
he
that's
was
awesome.
Sentimental about that. And
he was just very unconventional about things. He was always buying things with the idea of like this bigger picture, like the 57 Corvette that was in the museum. I mean, he just was always buying things with like these visions. The two greatest things I think he did for us post-mortem were his notes. He took meticulous notes on everything.
Crazy notebooks on every single thing he wanted to do and what he did do.
What he was planning to do. And he took photos of everything. And it's so great to be able to go back and see him in the phases of working on these projects, or especially for her, the creative side. Mm-hmm. Really, she's, I think, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but trying to honor what he wanted to do, because he had notebooks and notebooks and notebooks on all of these cars that were unfinished. Yeah. And we're just trying to like find ways to finish those projects and keep the people that supported him together and the community together for as long as they will embrace us.
And let's talk a little bit about that, of you two continuing this legacy. Let me start with a recent collaboration with LeMay America's Car Museum in Tacoma. Tell us about that.
Yeah. Okay. So Harold LeMay used to get gas at Andy's. My dad is known Harold. Well, Harold was probably, I don't know how old he was, but maybe 20 years older than my dad or so, but would go in there when my dad was a kid and my dad would pump his gas. And after my dad passed, Amanda and I, which is really funny, it was our first car thing that we decided to go to without my dad, in a 1967 Corvette that my dad purchased in 1972 from his long-term race friend, Rod Vandegrift, and he's owned it since then. Anyway, so we were driving, I get back to the barn and somebody comes down from LeMay and says, oh, we want that car. And I was like, oh, you definitely don't want anything ours. Everything's so customized, you know? And it evolved into this thing where they were doing the 70th anniversary of Corvette and were looking for local collectors that had a more of a customized take on things. And I think that we kind of knew it was right. We are not normally museum people. We're just here to carry on what my dad wanted. And my dad wanted to look at his own things every day. But he has this frame for a 1957 Corvette, and he never finished assembling the car because he was so obsessed with looking at this wildly bright powder coated frame, yellow, orange, red, lime green. I mean, he would take it to car shows, just the frame. He was so excited about it.
Wow.
And when the representative from LeMay came into the barn and said, "I have a crazy idea. What if we did the first deconstructed display of a car? And we did like the body and this frame on display and the engine." And we were like, I feel like that's right. My dad loved that frame.
And I think that's a perfect example of the community supporting us. Like LeMay has been so supportive in such an unconventional way, I think, for them. And certainly for us, it was outside of our comfort zone to do anything like that.
Yeah.
But that community has just been so supportive and
encouraging.
Yeah. And we love to support them. And I feel like we found a family in Pandora and everybody at
Dale, and everybody's just been so great.
Oh, that's good. That's wonderful to hear, because there's definitely, you know, that love affair of the car that they talk about. It seems to tie in perfectly with everything that you're doing. So that sounds really awesome. So how long was the frame there?
So we had two cars there.
Yeah, the deconstructed version of the 1957 Corvette. So that was the body, the transmission, the engine, and the frame. And then the 1967 Corvette was there for about 6 months.
The duration of the exhibit.
Yeah.
Great. And so tell me about some other things that you're doing to just either play in the community or keep cars. And you even talked about, Christine, I think it was you who mentioned you were working on cars earlier today.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. You know, our lives have changed a lot. We were really just Steve Barker's kids. I mean, when she said earlier, we're not trying to fill his shoes. I mean, listen, people say all the time, "Wow, I've been in this car before and this is such a tame drive." I'm like, yeah, I'm never going to drive like that. Like, he was just, you know, I'm never going to be that. We're never going to be as funny as him or as captivating or as he was just like this force. And it's interesting because even now, I mean, we just think of the barn as my dad's. Andy's is my dad's. The cars are my dad's. We're just here to keep a close eye on them, if you will, and treat them how he would have wanted them treated. Because I knew how to drive the cars, I decided that, you know, I don't even know how to change a tire, you know? And so it started with needing some new tires. And then I did some brake pads and rotors and was like, oh, well, this is interesting. Started to learn some things. And on the 1967 Corvette, that was one of 20 cars that came with the tri-power option that year. And I opened up a toolbox and I found a note. And the note that I have says, "Come on, baby, let's rebuild some tri-power." And my dad's handwriting, he had done one out of the three carburetors. And somebody who was mentoring me, helping me do some projects, said, "Well, I think your dad wants you to learn how to rebuild some carburetors." And so that was like my first major project. And then I did a slew of other things to the 1967 Corvette. And my dad is in the middle, by the way, of 50 projects easily. It just came about. We did the Chevelle after that. We had somebody do the Chevelle, restore the Chevelle. And
I mean, it really just was a snowball. Like, ever since the service, it's been super motivating and reinvigorating. And
we've just met people and things have felt right. And at the kickstart of LeMay, I actually started building my first engine. Somebody was helping me and mentoring me, teaching me how to build it. And that is going in a 1960 Corvette. And I probably spent about 3 months building that completely. I also live in Arizona and have a kid and go back and forth. But about 10:30 at night, you can't even make this up. At 10:30 at night on New Year's Eve, I called Amanda and my mom. My dad has a dyno. And it started. And I was like, oh, my God, it runs. You know, and they're like, oh, my God. And so that was the first project. And I was like, that is hands down like the coolest, most rewarding thing I've ever done in my life. Whatever my dad had for parts, he already had. I knew what he wanted. He had notes. Everything's exactly how he wanted. And then just this week, I started on the 57 Corvette. So we just finished rebuilding the rear end and the front end, and now we're finished the steering yesterday and going to get ready to do brake lines and fuel lines tomorrow. And each thing is a different experience for me, and it's crazy just what I learn. It's all stuff I never knew or thought I would be interested in.
It's incredible, and it's really touching to hear this. And yeah, it's just, I'm honestly very touched by this whole story. So thank you for talking about it. So what's the future hold for you two when it comes to cars or community or passing on this love affair?
I mean, there are no bounds. We know no limits. We, in that sense, we're very much like him. Neither of us will accept no for an answer. And if there's something that we want to do and it's right, it will find its way to us. And I think that's been the biggest thing. Like, she's got a wonderful mentor who helps her with all of these cars, and the community at Andy's, his friends, I mean, they show up every weekend and help me sort parts.
That's like what it's about. It is about the people that, I mean, people stop by the barn and are like, all right, let's see what you're working on today, that used to come down and sit with my dad, and they've got their same seats. And Amanda goes up on Saturdays and sells parts at Andy's. And these people that when we were kids have their same chair and their same cup of coffee and things.
I mean, to have people 2 years after his passing still show up, like his friends consistently show up for us. Show up every Saturday. I mean, Bill Victor shows up every Saturday without fail, one of his oldest friends who's still alive, and helps me sort parts and says, oh my gosh, your dad and I were going to do this with this, or this goes to this, and helps me list things on Marketplace. So when you ask what's next, I think there's a handful of things. Like, our goal is to have Andy's be a running established business.
First of all, the number one goal is to always have like the best time and have the small wins. Yesterday, I found a $6 gasket at Andy's. I was going to go into Napa Auto Parts and I was working on the frame and I found the gasket. I'll have to send you the video just for personal enjoyment. I'm like, oh my God, look at this. Who needs the internet? Andy's Auto Parts. We've got ample supply.
I mean, so we want to just continue Andy's, and we want the barn to always be a place where his legacy can live on. And we've got year two of the car show coming. Can we announce the car show?
Please do.
Okay. August 17th, at Rick's American Muffler again.
Out in Aberdeen.
We have room for about
We didn't touch on this, but after the service, decided to do a car show. We did it last year in August. I cannot even make this up. We had 2,500 spectators, 800 cars. We turned away 200 or 300 cars. It was unreal. Insane. It was unbelievable. It was the cool. People stayed for like 8 hours at this car show, and it was fun. It was a great time.
He would have loved it and
hated
it.
He would have hated it.
I understand that.
The community loved it. So I guess that's all that matters. So yeah, we've got year two of the car show coming up. And, you know, the Cruise Puyallup team has been so supportive of us. And we love helping them out with anything we can.
Another thing, Cruise Puyallup, this is just so great. I mean, the cars we are driving, that's what it's about. The people are like, oh my God, if your dad would win a race in, you know, 1960, he'd light it off as soon as he passed by Pioneer Way, past Andy's. And they saw these cars new. And as we like work towards the process, it is, you know, I never thought about that. Andy's and the cars are like the community's project. Somebody stopped by Andy's today and was like, you know, that sign across the street used to be red and orange. And I was like, really? Okay, maybe I should paint it red and orange. I'll ask Amanda. Like, we don't know these things about the cars or about the building. And it's so fun to restore them and bring it back to what everybody tells us it was.
So I'm curious too, because I see this in a lot of other stories or sayings that I come across in the automotive world, but probably not for people that are so much local that knew your dad and knew Andy's and all that kind of stuff. But for other people that may see two women driving around in sports cars or talking about building engines, do you come across expectations of like, wait, normally old dudes are playing with cars? Yeah. And yeah, so what are your experiences with that?
Twofold. I'm going to say this. The negative experiences really stand out. And the reason why is because they actually don't happen very often. We were at Bear Jackson. Somebody called us trophy girls, right? Yeah. And I was like, yeah. I'm sorry, what? Don't get, she's like, it's not worth it. He doesn't want to hear about your intake manifolds. And I was like, well, I'm going to tell him.
Yeah.
But no. People are so supportive. And actually, I haven't even told Amanda this, but she's been out of town, but my mom and I ran into somebody the other day and he told us this. He said that he was friends with my dad. And the coolest thing that has come about this is that his daughter and other like girls that are kids of my dad's friends are like, hey, I think I want to go to the car show this year. Will you teach me how to drive? Or could I drive one of your cars? And he was like, I'm like, what now? I spent all these years trying to get you into cars. And I'm like, that's so cool. I just want to say this. We were raised in an environment where my dad, we didn't have any dynamic of man versus woman. It was person versus person. You get out there and if you want something to happen, you make it happen. I mean, it didn't even occur to me that it might be bizarre to have us driving anything until after he was gone, really.
And I think we both, like I said, neither of us really accepts no as an answer. Like your field is pretty male dominated. My field is completely male dominated.
Yeah, for our real jobs.
In our real jobs. I don't think standing out has ever really bothered us.
No. And people are so, so supportive and can't wait to, when we go to something like Cruise Puyallup and there's probably a good 1500 people there. Mm-hmm. A lot of people. Right away, they're like, get over here. Tell us what you're learning. Now, here's where it's gotten weird. We are moms. And for me particularly, I have a 6-year-old. And I have recently told my mom, I went to a birthday party and my whole life has changed in the past like 10 months. And the moms were like, so where are you shopping for cosmetics? And I was like, oh, well, not really, you know. And anyways, one of the dads was like, hey, get over here and tell us all what you've been working on. And I was like, oh my God, finally. Okay. This is what I've been working on. And I told mom, I was like, oh, the birthday parties are getting weird with the moms. With my dad's friends, they're just so supportive. And now the community as a whole is, I mean, they are. We are so lucky that people are this excited about it.
Yeah, this is, I love this story. I love what you all are doing because I think it's representative of this passion that I've always seen in the automotive world and the communities and how open they can be and how supportive they can be and how wonderful it is. And you all are kind of a living testament to that. And it's just such an inspiring, great story. Is there anything else that you want to tell listeners or anything before we finish up? Any other news about Barker's Barn or anything else?
I mean, the car show is our next like big project. So stay tuned. We've got a YouTube channel coming out soon.
Yes, we do.
Awesome. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's been one of the funnest things is my dad's friends will come down and whatever I was building an engine with domed pistons and some particular cam in it. And one of my dad's friends was like, you got the piston upside down. I was like, no, it goes this way. This curve goes. And he was like, this is her first engine. She doesn't even know she's working with like some of the rarest stuff. And my mentor is so cool. He just has so much experience and I'm so lucky to have him around. But we were like, we should share that we just, I don't even know what I find half the time, you know, collections of 409s. Oh yeah. She's no clue. By the way, you definitely don't. I found this is another thing. We like, it's really good that we're not the same and we have different interests. I found 4 409 heads in the back room at Andy's and I'm going to have to get those. You cannot sell them. Yeah. Nice. Amanda will be like, hey, load up those line drives. We got a buyer here. And I'm like, well, they're drive lines. So that's weird that you sold them. She's like, whatever they are, I already sold them. I'm like, okay.
Oh, that's wonderful. Well, thank you both so much for doing this. I absolutely loved this.
Yeah. We are just along for the ride. And I guess I'll say that we are open to like any ideas people have, in a sense of if you're selling a car, well, I'm in the market probably. No. I don't know. We're just excited to see where things go. We've loved, everything's just been so unexpected. The people we've met, the things that we are passionate about, we never expected in our entire lives. If anything, we're like, why do we have to grow up at Andy's Auto Parts every Saturday? And now we're like, it's Saturday, we're going to Andy's.
Yeah. It's so funny how that happens. And in terms of that, how do you want to share how people can reach you? Or I can just provide links in the show notes of this as well.
Yeah. If you could provide links to, we've got, you know, our Facebook page for Barker's Barn, and then the Andy's Auto Parts page has a Google page. It's mainly run through Facebook Marketplace. We're working on growing it, and we just appreciate the community, and we appreciate you for thinking of us.
This is of course. Cool.
Yeah, well, thank you so much again for doing the show, and I will provide those links and reach out anytime. Thank you for listening to Fuel for the Future, presented by State Farm Insurance and driven by America's Automotive Trust. Before you leave, please take a quick second to hit that subscribe or follow button and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. To learn more about America's Automotive Trust, please visit americasautomotivetrust.org.